From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. You know those Hummels that your great aunt had stored in a very special curio cabinet in her house? Worthless. Ditto pretty much anything from the Franklin Mint. Cabbage Patch dolls never taken out of the box? You can find them online for little more than retail. It turns out that a great many things thought to be collectible and command high prices and fantasies of early retirement do not live up to their promise. Jason Noddy is a staff reporter at The Street, where he wrote about some worthless collectibles, and he's joining us now via Skype. Jason, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So besides the Hummel and the Cabbage Patch Kids, what other things once called collectible have turned out to be worthless in the long run?
Well, you have several items here, and a lot of these are going to sound familiar to anyone who has relatives who have stockpiled these kind of things. Precious Moments figurines, for example, very pervasive, very mass market, but marketed in such a way that they're believed to have some innate worth. If you go into a Hallmark store or a gift card store, you will see several of these brands that kind of market themselves this way. Yardrow figurines, for example, on the high end. You look at Thomas Kincaid paintings, Thomas Kincaid, who just passed away last year. They're produced in mass quantity, but you're being told that they're being sold in limited amounts in an attempt to create demand. And you'll see a lot more of these hit the secondary market for a lot less than they're selling at the point of sale.
For a short burst, though, some of these items were once considered worth some money. Now, how does something that has had a high value drop quickly and dramatically?
I like the example of the Hummel figurine. My grandparents collected Hummels. They were a fixture in our dining room for many years. And it's just a matter of the sheer amount of them. They were believed to be worth something because they seemed rare and valuable when they were coming over during World War II. GIs would bring them back from Germany, and it would seem that they were something that couldn't be found here in the States. But as they grew in popularity among that generation, and as reproduction started to appear, they all of a sudden became a lot more plentiful. So once these families, these grandparents, great-grandparents, started trying to sell off the figurines or emptying their collections of figurines, you started to see a lot flood the market. Things become less valuable. They're worthless, as it were, when there just start to be a lot more of them than originally anticipated. In the case of Hummels, it seemed like they multiplied overnight, but the fact is they were just hiding out in everybody's homes.
Those Hummels are the sort of pink apple-cheeked, often whistling little figurines of girls and boys in lederhosen and dull skirts and kerchiefs that many people know. But what is the difference then, Jason, between something like a Franklin Mint collectible, there are plenty of them, and a bottle of fine wine, which there are also plenty of, or an extremely valuable comic book? I mean, why is one an investment and the other worthless?
And, you know, again, it comes down to rarity. If you look at the aging of, say, a bottle of wine from the Bordeaux region, you're going to get wines that spoil, age differently. Some collector is going to leave it out in the sun somewhere. A cellar is going to lose electricity, something of that nature. And these will just kind of peter off over time until you have a very finite amount of Bordeaux left from a certain vintage. However, when the Franklin Mint goes on television and tells you that they have a Happy Days plate collection and that you better order it now because there are only so many in stock, well, as one of my readers said, a limited edition is infinity minus one. That is the limit to a limited edition. So you're seeing this enormous collection come out right at the onset. And I mean, a Happy Days plate, unless you're using them as skeet shooting, they're not going to go anywhere.
Franklin Mint used the currency of television ads and Parade magazine, if I'm remembering correctly. But how do you think eBay or other online marketplaces have affected the way that collectibles are valued?
Simply put, they've made what were once very rare collectibles universal. You now have access to the entire world's supply of, you know, the Franklin Mint Sesame Street collection or something of that nature. Where once you had very small marketplaces where you had to go into the classified ads or scout around certain groups and go into collector's magazines. Now the world is your oyster. If somebody in Saskatchewan, for example, has that exact plate you're looking for, you're going to be able to get it tomorrow. For a collectibles market, that changes the entire game. You've basically turned supply into a global supply rather than a local one.
You mentioned your grandmother. I think of an uncle that I have in Florida who seems to buy these kind of things. Is anyone, any demographic, especially susceptible to this idea that collecting these limited editions could really be worth something?
You know, you like to think of it as a older generational problem, and in many ways it kind of fits that that demographic. But I was just at an estate auction here in Oregon on Friday, and the people buying Thomas Kincaid paintings, for example, were a wide range of people, from older teens to more middle-aged people. It's basically somebody who's going to look for something that's in demand. And this is, we had the discussion about how eBay affects the marketplace. Well, eBay has also affected the resale market as well. You have an immediate reference as to what things are selling for. So collecting becomes flipping, where you're actually just picking these up for a very finite amount of time and then bringing them back out to the market if you think you can turn a profit on them.
What consolation then can we give to people who have been hoarding worthless collectibles in hopes of a payout? Just get rid of them now?
Quite honestly, if you've been hoarding them in hopes of a payout, yes. You're basically going to be paying more in storage fees. You're going to be taking up room in your house. It's a terrible way to collect anything. However, if you have somebody who is compiling these things out of love of the product, there are people who love staring at Thomas Kincaid paintings. Joan Didion found them fascinating, these landscapes on fire. And there are plenty of people who still do and keep them, cherish them, try to explain to your family members why you enjoy them so, and perhaps they'll live on for another generation. But it's really important that if you're going to have things that are going to take up this amount of space in your home and become this large a portion of your life, that you really do enjoy them.
Jason Noddy, a staff writer for The Street, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Now you can find a link to Jason's article on 9 worthless collectibles and eBay pages of some of the collectibles that we mentioned. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.